Have you enjoyed the messages already today? Amen. Hadn't the Lord been with us in a wonderful way? Amen. You may be seated. So good to be back in the pulpit. But I can tell you, I've enjoyed every word that is spoken from this man of God, this man of God. I can tell you, my heart is stirred. I believe God is sending revival. He's not going to do it. He's already doing it. If you feel it on in the inside of your own life, I can tell you that it's going to flow through you. That's just the way that it all works. But so good to be back here once again. Several messages. I think I could preach three different ones at this time. Is that okay if we stay till two or whatever else? In our time, it's just now breakfast. Just rolling out of bed. But so just really feel this on my heart. Had several things. Was going to talk to you about the vulnerable areas in relation to the divine mystery. Thought maybe that's the way the Lord would have me to go. But I really feel like I need to preach this particular message about progressing with the Lord. How many of you know God wants you to progress?
Yes.
Move forward in the things of God. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark 16:1. Just really quick, a funny story with Brother Jeffrey. How many of you know God works out all things?
Yeah.
It's just the way the Lord works. And I always stand amazed in how the Lord works in His people, His providence, His sovereignty. Well, Brother Jeffrey, some of you may know that he had a job interview today.
Amen.
Do you know that? Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Been praying for him. Well, Melissa and I are staying at this one particular hotel here in Limerick, and I had forgotten my tie. And I needed to put that tie on, and so we drove back to get the tie. I went up to the hotel room, come down, got in my car. Brother Paul, he was with me. We go to put it in drive, look up, and Jeffrey's standing on the stairway. Just getting his umbrella out. His interview was at the hotel we're staying at. He didn't even know how he's going to get back to church. But God knew. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Christ. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." Now if you'd go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. The Bible says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." I want to talk to you here this morning for just a little while upon this thought, progression without solidified considerations. Progression without solidified considerations. Would you help me pray? Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to gather here, to look once again at the Word of God. We have heard from you and these messages that have gone forth today. And I ask, oh God, that you'd be with us once again, that you would anoint, God, that you'd open the ears of your people, God, that we could hear what you have to say. We give you all the glory. And God's people said, amen. Preaching progression without solidified considerations. We understand that the world tells us that it is a fool that doesn't plan ahead, take great forethought, or consider beforehand. The world tells us that a person is destined to be disappointed in life if they don't first consider finalizing steps. Isn't that right? We find that oftentimes this same ideology is found in the church. We find that districts, religious headquarters, and ministerial leaderships make people give detailed blueprints of the steps that are going to be taken even if some steps are a great distance away. Amen. I fully understand that wisdom and considerations are vital to the economy of God. For even Jesus Himself said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundations and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Now these verses convey to us the importance of counting the cost of the finished work. However, it must be viewed in the willingness to work and pay the cost. Whatever that cost and work may be, it does not mean that an individual must know the exact spot of where the sink is going to be in the bathroom before they ever began to build the house. Amen. As we look at our text today, I believe that we see this reality, this principle, and this eternal truth very, very clearly. The Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." Now there are five things that I would like to convey in relation to this text. The first is, in approaching Christ and considering the body of the Lord, every believer must be willing to invest in its benefit. Listen to me. Every believer must be willing to invest in its benefit. Now Scripture tells us that before Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome decided to go to the tomb of Christ, that they first went and bought sweet spices. It says, "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint the Lord." Now the word "bought" here means to purchase, to go to market, to buy, or to do business. Amen. In other words, before the two Marys ever moved toward the tomb of the Lord, they first moved toward the market. Amen. They went to the market with a specific purpose, with the Lord and His body in their mind and in their spirit. They did not go to the market of life to wander about, to check out the sales, or to find out the latest gossip. Amen. They went to the market to buy sweet spices with a heart that was focused upon the Lord. We could say that they were willing to personally invest in the benefit of Christ and His body long before certain things were needed in relation to that body. They were not the sort that felt that if God wanted them to anoint the body of Jesus, that He Himself should be the one to supply the sweet spices. Amen. They did not think that when they got to church, the outreach, the convention meeting, that the spices should already be there, placed there by the hand of God. In other words, there was forethought on the part of the two Marys that said, before we ever get to the church, before we ever get to the outreach, come on somebody, before we ever get to the revival meeting, amen, we may consider this perspective and say to ourselves, that's absurd. However, this is the attitude of many preachers and people that come towards the house of God in relation to the body of the Lord. multitudes are unwilling to personally invest in the benefit of Christ or His body beforehand out of their own coffers. Amen. I've found it is the way of many to show up empty-handed. Amen. You see, we understand in hindsight that Jesus wasn't in the tomb, don't we?
Yeah.
I said, we understand that His body was not there. We know all of that. But in relation to these two ladies and in their mind and in their thoughts in relation to that body, they had no idea at that moment that Jesus was departed. All they knew was there's going to be the body of the Lord, and that body was going to require sweet spices. Amen. I want you to know in this great walk with God, I've come to learn there's a lot of people, they show up in the house of God. This is the body of the Lord. I said, this is the body of the Lord, and our focus should always be in relation to that body. These ladies went to the marketplace. They didn't go there to buy a new pair of shoes. They didn't go there, come on now. They didn't go there to buy something for themselves. They went there with the focus and the priority. I'm going to meet up with the body of the Lord in just a few short days or moments, and I've got to have something to bring in relation to the anointing of that body. My God, I can tell you, the Lord is looking for such people. I ask you today, how many of us, you know, we as preachers, we know, Brother Keith, we've got to bring sweet spices. Amen. Because we're going to be standing behind this pulpit. But I can tell you, if God is wanting to do, is able, let me say it that way, if God is able to do what He wants to do, it's going to require all of us saying, I'm going to buy sweet spices. I'm going to go to the marketplaces of life. I'm not going there to do this. I'm not going there to do that. Listen, there are those that have come to church and have yet to pray or go to the market and purchase what they know is going to be needed upon their revival. I firmly believe that life is a marketplace. And in it we do much shopping. We purchase all sorts of things. However, in the grand scheme of things, the only thing worthy of our purchase are those things that impact Christ and minister to His body. Hallelujah. It would have done the two Marys no benefit to have simply bought some grape juice, a fried piece of fish, or even a trinket if they knew that they were going to the tomb of the Lord with the desire to minister to His body. Amen. And I ask you in this convention, we're just in the first day and you've got plenty of opportunity to buy things in the marketplace that have the focus of the Lord Jesus and His body at the center of it all. Hallelujah. I know in relation to my wife, if I'm going to minister, if I'm going to bless her, I've got to go shopping with her in mind. Amen. I don't bring back something that has Robin in mind. I have something that has her in mind. And if we're ever going to be and do what Christ desires us to be and do, it's going to have to require that all of us say, Jesus, I'm going to the marketplace, not with self in the center of my purchasing, but Jesus, I'm thinking of Your body. I want to minister to You. I want to minister to Sister Sharon, Brother Paul, Brother Soul, I want to come into this house with a ministry that says, Lord, Your body is my focus.
Yes.
Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
You see, all of their purchases had the Lord Jesus in mind, though those purchases would be of little value upon arrival. You see, we understand oftentimes we can be found with the attitude that says, if God wants me to do it, He needs to supply His own sweet spices. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. So many people I've found, they come to the house of God in relation to the things of the Lord, and they say, I want God to do it all. But I can tell you, you've got to purchase things out of your own coffers.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Yeah. Some things are going to cost us. Now we find that both Marys share the same sentiment, desire, and concern for the body of Christ in regards to the anointing. It says that they, somebody say they might come and anoint him. This word anoint means to apply oil. It is the same word which is used in James 5:14, which says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We could undoubtedly say much about this anointing that they plan to do to the body of the Lord. However, I simply want to highlight the fact that these two ladies shared the same desire and attitude about the anointing. Isn't that right? Yeah. They both planned on being a part of it. One Mary didn't say to the other Mary, "You're preaching today. It's your time to anoint. It's your time to consider the anointing." You see, one Mary didn't want the other Mary to give herself to it, while the other simply watched. Each of them wanted to contribute their part to the full measure concerning the anointing of the Lord's body. Folks, I can tell you, God has no, let me say it this way, He's not a part of simply religious superstars.
Yes.
Did you hear me? He's not a part. Ian, He's here. All of you are here. But I can tell you, if you're born again, if you're walking with God, you have a part to play in what God does in this convention.
Amen.
It's easy to look over here at Sister Candace. It's easy to look at these ministers and say, they're the ones that's going to be bringing the word. I'm just going to come and receive. I'm going to sit my backside upon that. Come on now. I'm just going to come. But I can assure you, my brother, he's come all the way from America. He may have, that thought may have run across his mind, but I don't believe it stayed there. It says it's just going to, I'm going to rely on other people and their anointing in relation to the body of the Lord. But I've traveled all this way because in me is bottled up a measure. I'm just a part, much as part of the anointing and what God is trying to do in this convention as much as anybody else. Hallelujah. And it's when we come into that realization, I can assure you that God is going to move in power. God's going to move in anointing, because all of us consider the anointing and how it relates to the individual. Amen. You see, each of them wanted to contribute their part concerning the anointing. We also find that this forward movement toward the body of Jesus was a progression that started in the dark. I want you to see this. Scripture tells us, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Matthew Henry said, these ladies set out from their lodgings very early in the morning, such we did this morning, at break of day or sooner. But either they had a long walk or they met with some hindrance, so that it was sun rising by the time they got to the sepulcher. Amen. I want you to see this. This tells us that before there was an abundance of light to govern their forward movement, they moved forward based upon the light that they had. Oh, hear me. They didn't have to have the light of the sun to move forward, but was satisfied with the light of the moon and whatever torch they might have carried. Genesis 1:16 says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. In the things of God, we must never think that in order to move forward with the Lord, we must have an abundance of light, but rather Be satisfied and content to move forward with the little light that we have, knowing that soon and very soon, there's going to be an abundance of much more light. Amen. I don't know how you come here to this convention. Maybe you come and the devil's whispering in your ear and he's saying to you, you don't have the abundance of light to move forward the way that God wants you to move forward in. I can tell you, in my walk with God, I would have never made it to where I am today if it wasn't, brother, I was content with the little light that I had and didn't let that discourage me from knowing that God is going to soon enough give a greater light. Amen. If you're waiting today for an explosion of light before you put on those shoes and move forward with God, you're never going to do nothing for God. But if you simply know it's the right thing for me to put these shoes on, get my backside out of bed, and move forward with God, you've got well enough light to do something for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Give Him praise in His house. I've seen people debate. Hey, look out that window and they say we don't have an abundance of revelation concerning the matter. Amen. I can tell you, these two ladies, they didn't look out there and say, well, the sun's up now, we're going to move forward now. No. They got up early in the morning. Surely, there's a lot of people that told them, you're foolish to step out into the ministry. Come on now. I heard it all in my life. There's not all of that abundance of life. You don't know enough to do it. Amen. Let me just settle this right now. You'll never know enough of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ for the devil to ever say to you or religious folks, there's enough light in your life to do it. No. Paul said at the end of his life that I might know Him. Hallelujah. What is this saying? There's a more light to be gained. But I'm not waiting for it. I'm looking forward based upon what I know. Amen. I've seen a lot of people be paralyzed, brother. A lot of people, they say, well, God can't use me. Maybe you've never heard that. God can't do this in me. That sun's not out there shining. I can tell you it's wonderful when it is. But I can tell you, God gave enough light for you to move forward in.
Yes.
Amen. He gave you the moon. Amen. He didn't make it pitch black out there. He gave you enough, spiritually speaking, to move forward in the light that you have. Amen. You may have to walk a little bit slower. Come on now. You can't run with the light of the moon. Maybe you've tried, maybe you haven't. I've tried, it doesn't work as well. I'd much rather run. Whenever it's noon and the sun's out, I can see everything that's out there, every placement of the foot. I know this is in divine light and divine revelation. Amen. But you'll never get there. You'll never get there, church, unless you're willing to move forward based upon the little light that you may have. Little light always gives way to greater light every time. And if you won't move forward, my God, in the little light that you have, you'll never know the fullness of the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever you know, you preach it. Preach only that if that's all you know. But if you'll be, my God, if you'll be faithful to preach it, before long another verse will come. I said something else will come. Brother Clinton, and used to always say, that man come up to him and said, you know, do you believe this is true? He said, yeah. He said, if you don't believe it, don't preach it, amen. But believe, preach what you know to be so. If you've got just a little light of the moon, Mary, here tonight, you've got plenty enough to move forward to the body and the purpose of God in your life. Hallelujah. You don't have, listen, I'm no theologian, don't claim to be. I don't know everything about Christ. I never will till I see Him face to face. But what I do know, I've tried to be faithful with that. I've tried to move forward. It may look like there's a moon out there, but my God, I know if I'll keep on marching, if I'll keep on walking, there's going to come a day that sun's going to break forth upon my forward progression with God. Hallelujah. You see, we may start out many times with lesser light, but we can be assured that greater light will be granted. That's right. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Isn't that what it says? And he went out. He moved forward, not knowing whither he went. But if you'll look, Genesis 13 says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, Jesus, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Amen. Yeah. Hebrews 11:8 lets us know when Abraham stepped out with God, he could look probably further than his own hand. Amen. But there came a time God said, Abraham, there's a greater light now. You can look as far as you can possibly see. There's light everywhere, Abraham, because you obeyed when you didn't see what was your next step. You simply took a step in lesser light, and God gave way to greater life. There's been nobody ever used for God that didn't understand this reality. If you're waiting to shout till the full downpour of the rain, you'll never see it, amen. But if you'll look up into the clouds and you'll see the cloud the size of a man's hand and say, my God is faithful, my God's going to do it, I can tell you, you'll see God do it because He is faithful.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of people, they say, I ain't dancing, sister. I ain't rejoicing until I'm standing in the rain. Hey man, I can tell you, brother, I see the hand, the cloud the size of a man's hand. I see that out there. I know God's sending it. Amen. We heard this morning that God's sending it. It's His word to all of us. I know I may not feel a sprinkle right now. Amen. But I do know it's a coming. Amen. I can rejoice. I can celebrate. Listen, I can celebrate this morning like it's already here by faith, because I know there's going to come a day of greater light when all of it comes full circle and God's purpose is fulfilled in the earth, because God cannot fail. Amen. I look across this room. I see pastors, missionaries. You testified to me. Did you move forward with lesser light? Sure you did. Amen. Did you have the full budget? That burns me up. Amen. There's a lot of people. I understand. We tried to lay the foundation. I get it. I get it. You need to count the cost. Do you get it?
Yes.
I said, I get that. I understand. There's all of that in the economy of God. But I can tell you, I don't know what's going to be 5 years from now. Yes. By the grace of God, I'm still going to be serving Jesus.
Yes.
I'm still going to be preaching the Word of God. But all I know is the Bible says, take no thought for your tomorrow. All I know is the light I've got today, that light's going to grow if God gives me a tomorrow. For the Word of God says it grow this way, gets brighter and brighter and brighter. I do know that based upon God's faithfulness in my today. But I'm not looking forward to tomorrow and saying, I'll tell you, that'll take care of itself. All I know is I'm in Limerick, Ireland, here on a Friday morning, walking with God, with God's people. That trumpet could sound today. We could all go and be with the Lord. Why do you fret about the light of tomorrow when God's given you what you got today?
Yeah. Yes, God.
Hey, man, I tell you, you'll stay bound up. You'll fret every day. I can't do. I've heard a lot of people, I can't do. I don't know as much. Listen, none of us ever did.
Yeah.
I said, none of us ever did. My brother here, what a great message this morning. Powerful word from God. Yeah. I'm sure when he first started preaching, that wasn't to its full measure, was it, brother? But it's grown, hasn't it? I said, it's grown in all of us. Amen. He knew at the very beginning, whatever's birth of God overcomes the world. He was faithful, no doubt, to preach that in its infancy. And before long, we got the message from this man of God we got this morning. Amen. Why? Because he preached what he knew, and that enlarged in time. He began to walk in a lesser light. That lesser light gave way to a greater light. And he found, my God, he found himself in the place of God where the light's shining. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I can tell there's a world out there how to try to keep you in bed.
Yes.
Don't you know the devil, all those human thoughts running through the two Marys, you're a fool to move forward in lesser light. Why don't you just wait?
Yeah.
Alright. Why don't you just wait till the fullness of the light? Amen. I can tell you, Paul always grew in the knowledge of the Son.
Yes.
He always a growing. Come on now. I said, Paul's always growing in the knowledge of the Son. Amen. Now when we consider these two ladies, that their forethought, their unity, and their forward movement in lesser light, we must do so with the governing thought that these ladies did so without any regard to final steps. I want you to hear me. I've been trying to get here. Listen, God began to deal with my heart about this. So I began to look at these ladies and began to see their great love for the body and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us, and they said among themselves, who? Somebody say who?
Who?
Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? This verse speaks volumes to me. Here we have two ladies who went to the market, who bought spices, who woke up early, who put on their clothes, and who started moving forward towards Christ, who never even thought about the greatest obstacle to their whole endeavor.
Yes.
Until they were almost there. Think about it. Here these two ladies had got up early. They were here at the prayer meeting. I mean, they got up. They went to the market. They spent money out of their own pocket. Think about all of this. As they went, they said, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? I want you to consider that for just a moment. Here's two ladies that never thought. That'd be like Melissa and I going to the airport before we fly over here and say, did you ever buy the ticket? You booked the hotel? You're not hearing me. I said, you booked the hotel? You've packed your bags? You've got to the airport? And you're telling me you never thought about purchasing the ticket? Come on now. Most would have heard this and said, you are telling me that you have spent your money, you have woke up early, and you have got this far, and you're moving forward with the Lord, and you never even considered that impossibility before you. Woo! I can tell you, that's love for the body. I said, that's love for the body. What in the world are you thinking? Their parents undoubtedly said, their ministerial friends undoubtedly said, who would do all that you have done without considering this great obstacle that's beyond your human effort to even maneuver it? Spurgeon said, as the holy women went towards the sepulcher in the twilight of the morning, desirous to embalm the body of Jesus, they recollected that the huge stone at the door of the tomb would be a great impediment in their way. And they said one to another, who shall roll away the stone? I like what this commentary says. The garden tomb in Jerusalem, which many believe to be the Lord's burial place, was dug into the rock hillside to make a cave-like room. The opening is nearly big enough to walk through without stooping. It would take a stone of 5 to 6 feet in diameter to cover it. To the right of the opening, an inclined groove or track was cut into the rock, running across the opening. It had a deeper indentation at the tomb's entrance. We're told that a large round stone, about 1 foot thick, was placed in the track when the tomb was built and blocked to keep the entrance open. After the Lord was placed in the tomb, the block was removed, allowing the stone to be rolled down the incline and dropped in the indentation to cover the opening and lock the stone in place. You're not here. It would have taken several men a desired considerable amount of time to dislodge the stone and open the tomb. Knowing all of this, we could come to conclude that when dealing with the Lord and His body, progression is often blind to hindrances and obstacles. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Progression is often blind to hindrances and obstacles. Amen. I'm not looking, listen, I'm not looking down the road and saying, you know what? There's going to be a stone down there. I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to move that big old heavy cumbersome thing. That's not the way of God, and it's not the way of the ministry. All I know is that I love the body brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not considering the million I've got to raise down there. I'm not considering the skull. All I know is there's a body of Christ that needs to be ministered to, and that's the governing thought of my life today, is that there's a body that needs to be preached to. It's God's plan for me to do it.
Yeah.
I can tell you so much thought, so many board meetings, so many chatters have stopped things dead in its tracks. We sit there, don't we? We try to figure out, brother, how am I going to do that?
Yes. Yes.
Come on now.
Yeah.
We sit there, brother. How can I do that?
Yes.
I'm just canaries. I don't have the energy. I don't have the ability. I'm no Samson. Come on, somebody. How are we going to move that? How are we going to raise a church up in Limerick? How are we going to see revival? How's God going to do this? How's God going to do that? You listen to me, child of God. You listen to me, minister. It's not your burden to determine how God's going to do what only God can do. Only thing God requires of you is to do what is right and move forward in relation to that body. Amen. God does require you to spend your money and buy something at the marketplace. Amen. At Sweet Spices is your business. You've got to pray. You've got to fast. You've got to get in the Word of God. But you listen to me. That stone rolling business is God's business. Hallelujah. It's not your responsibility to try to do something that only God can do.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I can't bring revival. I said, I can't do that. That's God's business. I said, that's God's business. Well, what is my business? To pray?
Yes.
To seek the face of God, to dig the ditch. That's my business. That's your business. Amen. We must see these things. They did not even show up on the radar as these women were moving forward. That's what faith does, and that's what an all-consuming love does. Amen. Now, I married Sister Melissa here. I tell you, there's a lot of things I didn't think about.
Amen.
Love blinded me to a lot of things. You know, I always got to get married. Now, she may have known a lot of stuff. I can tell you, I never thought this flower went there. And come on now. I never considered that. I just knew I'm getting married. Come on now. I'm just getting married. One able commentary states, in spite of the difficulty facing them, they began their journey toward the stone. It would have been easy for these women to not even begin their journey. They knew this huge stone was standing in their way, and yet they pressed on. My sister's in Germany. It's a rogue Germany. I tell you, you don't have to worry about how things are going to work out. That's beyond your control to work on. Hey, this school of Christ should be, could be, would be, if people oftentimes would just quit worrying about large stones 2 years down the road, and just do what God told them to do today. Buy the spices. Move forward towards the sepulcher. Depend upon the Lord. Go forward in lesser light. All the other is God's business. It's not mine. I study church history. I see God did wonderful things. But I can tell you, men move forward. Knowing it's God's business to do what they could not do. Isn't that right? Amen. I can tell you, when I got radically born again, I didn't know how that stone was going to be moved. Come on now. How's that going to happen? I remember debating with myself every other day. And what kept me from moving forward was the consideration for that stone. I thought to myself, there's no way. How am I going to live for God in a perverse sinner? I can't change myself. I can't change my spots.
Yes.
Woo! But I said, one day, One day the Holy Ghost began to move, began to deal with my life. And I felt the divine burst of God in my spirit that said, Robin, you just move forward. And the Bible says you repent. I'll take care of the rest. I went to the altar. I asked God to come in. And before long, everything that I was worried about, God had rolled it all, my God, in His strength, in His power, and His way.
Amen.
My God did it.
Yes, God.
You see, even the Lord knew what they were doing was right. For He sent an angel there to wait upon them with a message. The Father knew that these ladies would do what they did, didn't He?
Yes.
For they simply loved Christ and His body. And said, Jesus, the Father understood these ladies would do what's right.
Yes.
He didn't send the angel to their house. Say, get out of bed. He rose from the dead. We think that's funny, but it happens more often in our lives we'd like to admit. I can tell you, had angels there waiting on them. He knew they would do what was right. He knew they loved that body. That those ladies, the angel of God, God the Father knew those ladies would get out of bed.
Yes.
He knew they'd buy this. Why? Because they loved the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me? I said He loved it. Though this question concerning the stone was a legitimate question, we find that the Lord had already taken care of the question and concern of their heart. Scripture tells us, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. And the Holy Ghost emphasizes, for it was very great.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
The Bible says they looked and they saw the thing that had brought the perplexity to their spirit even for a moment. Was a wasted time, brother.
Yeah.
How many times I've got to things in life and I was determined I'm going to move forward no matter what. Because it's the right thing for me to do.
Yeah.
When I got there, I found that everything that's bottled me up. I can tell you can waste a lot of time thinking about things that only God can change anyway.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
How many of us think about things? I tell counsel people often, listen, you're getting way ahead of things.
Yeah.
Listen, you're getting way ahead of things. All you need to do is what you know to do is right today.
Yeah.
Just do that. Somebody say, just do that.
Just do that.
Why are you worried about stones? That's in your tomorrow. 20 years down the road, amen. I know people that they think about, well, if I have kids 10 years down the road, this may happen.
Amen.
How many of you know God takes care of stones?
Yeah.
I take things that I worried about, things that perplex my spirit. How's this going to be, Lord? How are you going to work that out? How are you going to work this out? I stayed up at night. Oh, it's me.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
How many times only for me to get to the place and look up and say,
that's right. That's right.
What waste of time.
Yeah.
What wasted consideration.
Yeah.
That should have never entered into my thoughts. Concerning how God was going to take care of her, Brother Keith, the question we must answer is, did God say to do it?
Yes.
Is it the right thing to do? Then just do it.
Lord.
I said, just move forward with that.
Yes.
This verse tells us that they looked, and when they did, they saw that God had already went ahead of them, gone before them, and taken care of what hindrances they would face upon their arrival. Oftentimes, the child of God stresses over, worries over, and frets over things that if they would simply keep moving forward and looking, that they would find that God has already taken care of the greatest of obstacles.
Yes.
Amen. When the believer has done everything they can do, the Lord does what they cannot do. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Listen, God's not going to buy the sweet spices for you. God's not going to kick you out of bed.
Yeah.
Come on now. He's not going to do that. That's not what the Lord does.
Yeah.
I know we're all filled with the Holy Ghost. We love the Lord. And obviously in that, there's always God's divine work in our lives. But I can tell you, sometimes Robin just got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Sometimes I've just got to get up. I've got to get in my study. I've got to pray. I go to the pulpit every time I come. I know there's a stone here.
Yeah.
I've got to give way to life. I cannot do that. I've realized that. I get perplexed every time that thought comes that you think I've learned by now. Every time, God, you've got to roll back the stone. When I get in that pulpit, this is your business. I've tried to do. I've tried to prepare. I've tried to pray. I've tried to seek your face concerning every message, everything I do in relation to your body. But at the end of the day, Lord, you've got to take care of what I cannot take care of. You see, they went to the market. They bought the spices. They rose up early and they moved forward in little light, and God rolled the stone away. They took care of what they could, and the Lord took care of what they couldn't. One able commentary states, there are obstacles that seem to keep us from completing the calling and purpose upon our lives and ministries. And it is easy to feel defeated against such great obstructions. So we question, who will roll away the stone? What had perplexed them only a few short moments before now became a wasted time of divine thought. Matthew Henry said, they who are carried by a holy zeal to seek Christ diligently will find the difficulties that lie in their way strangely to vanish. And themselves helped over them beyond their expectation. You know, no doubt their human faculties and their human mind said, if we're lucky, Sister Sharon, we're going to get there. And there'll be some big men that can help us roll away the stone. But to their amazement, God had done it by His own purpose. Listen, I've seen people try to manipulate, oh God, even in their moving forward, Lord, I'm going to have to manipulate circumstances to get this stone to roll away. But I can tell you, God has it all in His mind and under His power. Why do we fret, church? Why do we fret about what's going to happen when we're not even there? Listen, if you're doing what's right, how many of you are doing what's right?
Jesus.
Are you preaching the truth? Walking with God? Trying to live holy, as my brother said, giving ourselves to holiness, the Spirit of God? I can tell you, at the end of all things, God will take care of what you cannot do. He'll take care of the stone. If you'll take care of moving forward in the light that you have, if you'll go to the marketplace, I can tell you, you don't have to consider all things. I've read about countless missionaries. They didn't even know when they got to a field, sister. But it's changed now. Now you got to know the population statistics of every dog in the community. Come on now. I mean, it is absurd. It is absurd how they do this. How they make you consider. How do I know? All I know is this is the mind of God. I'm doing what is right. And He's going to take care of that. Now, does that say be foolish? No, no. But if you're doing what's right, and if you're in love with the body of Christ, always desiring to minister to it, they weren't going to try to make a name for themselves. They love the body. Did you hear me? I said they love the body of the Lord. And that was their singular motivation. I love Christ. I love His body. I'm going to anoint, to minister to that body. And Lord, by Your divine enablement, I'm going to move forward in that direction knowing You'll take care of that stone when we get there. Amen. I can tell you, there's a lot of things coming upon the earth, but I don't labor on those things. People say, well, this president's coming. And listen, that's God's business. My business is to be faithful to preach the Word of God. Listen, I know people, they say, I don't want my children in the ministry. It's going to get worse. At worst is God's business. That's not yours. I said, that's not yours. My thoughts is, Lord, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do everything I can in relation to Your body, knowing at the end of it, You'll take care of everything I cannot do. His strength takes care at the end of ours. Can you say amen? Amen. Would you stand with us around the building? Amen. I believe here. I believe with all of my heart. Some of you have come to this meeting. I wouldn't plan on preaching this message. Just printed it off right across the street. But I can tell you, there's people here. You're worried about things. You're perplexed about things that God will take care of. I said, God will take care of it. You just do what you know is right to do. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, worthy, worthy, worthy.